Some terror on the high seas as Cyclone Trevor causes mayhem on Australia's northern coastline and for remote communities in Queensland and the Northern Territory.
Yes, that's right. So a commercial fisherman in the Gulf of Carpentaria says he feared for his life after he was caught in rough seas as Cyclone Trevor crossed Cape York on Tuesday night. He's a mackerel fisherman, Bruce Davey, and he said a lack of communication meant his crew weren't aware even of the cyclone's path until it was too late. Mr. Davey was out from Gove and he can't get the ABC now because there's no shortwave radio service after the ABC cut that. But he didn't know that there was a cyclone brewing. It was only when he got to Weipa that he was able to initiate his cyclone plan to protect his crew and his valuable haul of 5 tons of fish. They couldn't pick a safe path into the river, so he piloted his boat, the MV Wildcard, 60 nautical miles north up to the Endeavour Straits, that's west of Torres Straits, where he was hammered by the cyclone all night.
We were caught in this open ocean, you know, gusting to 40 knots. Fortunately, we had internet and we were watching the bomb radar and there was just these massive big finger strings circulating off Cyclone Trevor, and we were getting smashed by these line schools. I was bloody crapping myself. I've been at sea 45 years and, you know, I've always had the view. You get up every day and you just know Mother Nature's going to try and kill you. And, mate, I was crapping myself last night, I tell you, mate, eh?
Jeez, sounds scary. Serena, I never thought that we'd actually be discussing this, but the dollar milk war is over and it looks like farmers have had a slight win.
Well, they've had a slight win. Coles said it would never reverse its decision, but it may have done this week. So dollar milk sold through the national supermarkets is no more. It's the new era of $1.10 per litre of milk. So it's $2.20 for that 2 litre pack or whatever. Both Coles and Aldi this week announced they will join Woolworths and charge more for the milk, promising that that extra 10 cents per litre will go back to the farmers who supply their home brand milk. And for 8 years, the dairy industry has fought this. We've both done stories on the dairy industry flailing as they fought against the discount milk because it was cheaper than water, it's cheaper than Coca-Cola, and farmers were going out the door backwards. But, you know as well as I do that it wasn't just that Coles started this on Australia Day 2011. It coincided with the global dairy price falling, export prices crashed, the domestic cheap milk just put more pressure on dairying. So there's been an exodus from the sector. I mean, one count is that it's about 20% have left dairy farming, maybe gone off to beef or maybe sold up. So even with this price rise, farmers say the milk is still cheaper than it was in 2010. But the 10 cents extra for the home brand milk is an extra $70 million getting paid back to the dairy farmers. So the Queensland Dairy Farmers Vice President Matthew Trace said this week, the news was fantastic and a game changer for the northern dairy industry, which focuses on that fresh milk.
This is massive for the Queensland dairy industry. It's actually what industry have been asking for, and it's going to put money in the pockets of farmers very quickly so they can feed their cattle and get through this really tough time.
So the farmers are happy. What about who they're selling their milk to, the processors?
That's right. So one processor is Norco. It's a big dairy cooperative, the last remaining dairy cooperative, up on the north coast of New South Wales. It takes Queensland milk, and it's one of the two processors with home brand milk contracting to Coles. The other is Saputo, which bought out Murray Goulburn. So farmers in northern New South Wales and southern Queensland, we know, have been battling higher feed costs, and as they prepare for the drought continuing, the higher milk price is a relief because, as Norco CEO Greg McNamara explains, farmers have been selling their milking cows.
So we think about somewhere between 25 and 30% of the herd was sold off some months ago, and that just continued. The question will be whether they've built their young herd to come through. So, you know, it takes 2 years to take a calf from a calf that's born today to actually get into the dairy herd. So what replacement stock have they got on hand, and did they actually sell those?
Now, the beef cattle herd is the lowest in 25 years, so it's not just dairy cows that are reducing in population here in Australia. What does the reduction in beef cattle mean for all the abattoirs and meat processors relying on that throughput?
Well, it's probably going to mean processes close with the loss of hundreds, even thousands of regional jobs. Now, it's happened with the worst drought in recent history, coupled with the devastating floods, which you've seen firsthand and reported on for Landline, killing hundreds of thousands of cattle in far north Queensland. Mm. Now, beef market analyst Simon Quilty says it doesn't matter now whether there's going to be rain to break the drought or not, the meatworks will close. And he says productive cows are being slaughtered at the highest rate of recent history.
This simply is not enough cattle to service all the abattoirs that currently exist around the country. So one of two things can happen. Either everyone puts through a very low throughput and it's shared amongst all, or several plants will have to close and therefore make the other plants more viable. So what we're expecting is with a herd of 25.5 million by the end of this year, that is a turn off of only 6.4 million head a year in terms of slaughterings. We're down 18% on last year.
It's that double whammy, isn't it? Because they sell the cows that they would otherwise use when the drought breaks to build up their herds again. So it'll take a while for that to bounce back. Yep. But moving from livestock to crops, the legal action against Roundup has seen a development this week.
That's right. So in the United States, a jury has found that the weed killer Roundup contributed to a man's cancer. The court in California ruled in favour of 70-year-old Edwin Hardeman, who sued the company Monsanto after using the herbicide on his property for 25 years. It's a blow to the company 8 months after the jury issued a $289 million verdict over similar claims in a different case. And the trial will now proceed to a second stage where Mr. Hardeman's lawyers will present evidence allegedly showing the company's efforts to influence scientists and regulators and the public about the safety of its products. It's the world's most popular weed killer, and it's used extensively, as we know, in cropping and in gardens here as well. But as you and I know, Roundup's facing the prospect of being phased out in Europe. EU politicians have voted already to review it within 5 years. But the issue of it being linked to cancer is still highly contentious. Scientists have told the ABC Roundup replaced some very toxic chemicals, and Roundup is itself safe. So debate goes on, and you know, a jury, is it a jury of scientists? Well, no, not really.
Exactly, yeah. That's the big thing from all of the farming bodies, that juries shouldn't decide science when they pretty much see it as settled.
That's right. It's now, a tricky one.
I love this story. We know how much we've all been paying for avocados. It's quite often tempting to put them through the auto scanner at the supermarkets as a bunch of cheap tomatoes, but some people have taken that a little bit further and actually stolen avocados, and
well,
now they've
been
caught.
And this is 4 tons of avocados worth $20,000 stolen from a southern Queensland farm over a 2-year period, so straight off the trees between 2017 and 2018. 41-year-old Steve Moore from Blackbutt in southern Queensland has been sentenced to 180 hours community service for his part in the theft of those avocados. And the farmer, Terry Clark, who owns Green Nugget Orchard, was the victim of the thefts.
I've got pictures of their vehicles coming in once I realised what was going on. So, you know, it's definitely coming in early mornings in the dark and then just racing off to wherever they can sell them. And the problem with it all is, like, I was the one that actually caught him at the market selling my fruit. But unless you can actually prove that that fruit is stolen, they don't have to prove where they got it from. So it's been a big process trying to get it all. Well, the Kingaroy Rural Police up there have done a fine job. They've actually been right onto this. They've done an exceptional job, and they're pretty much the ones that have got to where we are at the moment.
It's tough. You have to prove that they've stolen it from your farm, isn't it?
Well, I'm always fascinated because we do the livestock thefts as well. The thieves themselves must be logistics experts to get away with all of that. Supermarkets may have banned single-use plastic bags now in many states, but there's still a lot of plastic packaging around the fruit, vegetables and meat, which causes a bit of debate still.
Yeah, it does. But the perishables are wrapped and packed not just for our convenience as they scan quickly, but it's also keeping them fresh. And so when it keeps them fresh, it reduces waste. So that's the theory. It actually has been tested. But consumers, of course, we're demanding plastic-free cucumbers and tomatoes and bananas. I mean, it's already wrapped. Why wrap it in plastic? So there's a new consortium of big fresh produce companies, including Costa and others. Now, it's been formed to try and address the plastic packaging, but it's a tricky issue. And the CEO of the new group, Michael Rogers, says there will be problems they have to solve.
The companies for the last 3 years have been progressively looking at their packaging to improve recyclability and also to look at biodegradable options. And some of the challenges are the higher cost of biodegradable packaging. And so some of the future work is looking at better packaging, ensuring that it's recyclable, and then increasingly looking at biodegradables.
This story is almost like a mini agricultural Jurassic Park, because a prize-winning ram from 50 years ago has sired a new generation of lambs today.
Yeah, they said that it was at the funeral of the person who'd done all this research work 50 years ago that they realised that there might still be viable semen, and let's give it a go. So it was semen from the Bunuk ram, Sir Freddy, frozen by a University of Sydney researcher decades ago, was found to be viable in the present day. In fact, it resulted in over 60% pregnant ewes. But the Associate Professor Simon de Graaf says it's interesting, it's kind of academic, to see how far sheep breeding has really come in the last half century. And he thinks there's been some big improvements, not just the body of the sheep, like the sheep are now larger, and the fleece, the body of the sheep has less wrinkles. So that has been done to address fly strike. So it'll be noticed as the lambs grow up.
For reproductive biologists, it's wonderful for us to see that a technology genuinely is safe and that the sperm are still viable after all of this time. But it does provide the sheep industry with an interesting benchmark. So, you know, within this sire evaluation trial, we're able to say, righto, let's compare the production traits of these lambs sired from this semen that was produced 50 years ago with the production traits of the lambs from today's modern merinos.
Massive scientific advances there. Serena, thank you so much for joining us for Rural News.
Thanks, Clint.